Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's subject is LDN, low-dose naltrexone. We're talking to an expert. She's the founder of the LDN Research Trust. It's a UK charity which operates globally. It compiles newsletters, interviews LDN prescribers, pharmacists. I was interviewed a couple of years back for their archives on my work with the LDN in patients at the Hoffman Center. And also, she has organized an LDN conference, which is streamed globally, and you can get excerpts of that. We'll tell you how in just a few moments. In part one, and I didn't realize this, Linda is such a dynamo in terms of LDN advocacy. I didn't realize how sick she was prior to her use of LDN. She was completely debilitated with a progressive case of multiple sclerosis and turned around dramatically when using LDN. So tell us a little bit about some of the other conditions where LDN might be applicable.
There are many rare diseases which I found very fascinating, especially with skin conditions. I don't know whether you've heard of a condition called Behçet's syndrome.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's an autoimmune condition that affects the mouth often,
Yeah, and the vagina and...
Mm-hmm. Mucous membranes.
All these, yeah, awful. And also Hailey-Hailey's disease, if you know of that one, which is another one where... awful ulcers just break out, especially in areas where you get hot. So in between your legs, under your breasts. If you are overweight, you know, in the crease of your stomach, mm-hmm. And then if you spend a lot of time in bed, it will break out on your back, on your arms, on your mm-hmm. forehead, in your neck, in your ears. I mean, awful, absolutely awful. Where people are in so much pain, and one lady I interviewed said that her legs were weeping. These people can't wear clothes because it's too painful, because you're where it weeps, it sticks to the clothing, and then mm-hmm. you know, you end up ripping it off. But she had fallen asleep and her knees were very badly affected, and they had crusted over in the night, and in the morning when she moved her legs, she said it sounded like Velcro ripping. Yikes. Where, you know, oh, and LDN, the before and after pictures are really hard to believe. I mean, mm-hmm. amazing, absolutely amazing. But also people with thyroid conditions, like Sjogren's syndrome, where they have dry mouths and dry eyes, mm-hmm. to suddenly lead a normal life. But what I would say, we have many people with fibromyalgia and ME, CFS conditions. Now, I have found over the years, I have no medical knowledge whatsoever. I had a first aid certificate many, many years ago, mm-hmm. but I've learned quickly about so many different things. But these group of people are ultra sensitive to drugs. All drugs. And even though LDN is very low dose, it's still a drug. And we have found that these people need to start on an ultra low dose of LDN and work up slowly. If not, you know, it really makes them feel quite unwell. But normally people don't have a problem of adjusting to LDN.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Let me share my experiences. Is that before I knew about this sensitivity, I would just prescribe one dose fits all. And I would find that about 90% of patients did fine with the full dose, which is 4.5 mm-hmm. milligrams. However, lately I've taken to starting at a lower dose. And for my ultra-sensitive patients, I might start at 0.5 or 1. Other patients, I might start at 1.5 and then work them up gradually to 3 and then the full dose of 4.5. And then smaller patients or children might do well with a lower dose altogether. So this is actually a low dose of a medication that's used for heroin addicts. And that gets some patients a little turned off, and doctors are leery of it. So naltrexone is actually used to block the effects of morphine. For addicts, it's sort of a way to get people to not get any gratification out of their drugs.
And it's also used in some hospitals for people that after they've had surgery to combat all the anesthesia.
It's
had.
A quick reversal of of the anesthesia. It sort of quickly shuts it off. So okay, so what are some of the potential issues that people might experience? Say they go on a high dose or they're very sensitive. At worst, what can happen if you take LDN? Because that's the first question people are going to ask. And so, well, you know, okay, what? But there got to be side effects. What are some of the downsides potentially?
People may have, for the first couple of weeks, worsening of pre-existing symptoms. So anything that is a problem for you may potentially get worse initially. But I would say from surveys we've done, it's only about 5% of people that ever experience any side effects.
That's but about they my could experience, have even less, I think, in
is
my
it?
Experience.
Yeah. Really? Headaches, maybe an upset stomach. But usually, as I say, people, vivid dreams is another
vivid dreams
one,
is fairly common, I would say. Maybe 10% of people say they just have very... wild dreams. Some people say, well, I find that interesting. It's not a big deal. Other people find it disconcerting. So that could be an issue.
I didn't have any vivid dreams. I just quite like that. But I didn't experience anything at all. And that's it, really.
Some sleep problems. Some people having some difficulty sleeping.
Yes. And in that case, doctors will actually say to people now, because years ago, when I first started, people started on 3 milligrams and then increased to 4.5 after a month. But like we just said, that people now start it slower. But also, it was you have to take it at night.
Yep.
Now, sleep was a problem for a lot of people. And doctors are now finding that prescribing it for those people in the morning, they still get the same benefits as people taking it in the evening and they're able to sleep. So for those people, it's a real big bonus. I still myself take it during the morning, during the evening. But there are many, many people that will tell you that LDN is okay to take during the day.
You know, I treat a lot of patients for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And I believe that one of the first studies on low-dose naltrexone was a pilot study in a small group of patients, I think 24 patients with Crohn's disease, with some very, very good outcomes. And I've seen some good outcomes in some of my patients who weren't responding to just diet and certain supplements, herbs, probiotics, the kinds of things that we use to treat it.
Amazing results. Dr. Jill Smith also carried out where you have the camera inside. And so you could actually see where all the ulcers were and, you know, really angry and so on. And then after, I can't remember how many weeks on LDN, and it was just clear. I mean, totally clear. Amazing to be able to see the before and after. I thought that was very interesting. And there's also been trials by Professor Gerard Younger for fibromyalgia in his pain studies, also very interesting. And hopefully, we're working with Dr. Younger at the moment to have a trial for MS and LDN. So that is really interesting. But we have to raise £300,000. It's a lot of money.
There's a little lesson in medical economics here, because if LDN, low-dose naltrexone, were a brand-new drug, a drug that was a designer drug developed in a laboratory by a major pharmaceutical company, there would be an enormous amount of funding available for a newly patented drug. But since it's a derivative of a common drug that's out there that's relatively cheap, there's not a lot of impetus from the pharmaceutical companies to do the research that will make this drug that's really been out there, that's not really offered a lot of patent protection, a blockbuster. Isn't that correct?
Yes. LDN has been used, as you were saying about Dr. Bernard Bahari, back in 1985, so an awfully long time. And it is cheap. It's usually around $1 a pill or less. It isn't toxic. It isn't harmful. So many drugs that are given to people with MS or other autoimmune diseases are not only very expensive, but can be very, very toxic as well, with side effects far worse than LDM. Really awful side effects. And many people now are trying LDN first before going on these other medications, mm-hmm. or indeed they have been on these medications and find that they are having such horrendous side effects that they would like to look at something alternative to continuing on those medications.
Well, LDN is an immune modulator, and it's a gentle immune modulator. And of course, there are some very, very strong immune modulators on the market. Drugs like Remicade, these are given sometimes by infusion, and now there are many immune modulator drugs for, say, psoriasis, for MS. They are powerful immune suppressants, in fact, and they carry with them the risk of serious side effects, such as unusual infections like tuberculosis or serious, potentially fatal brain infections. But a question that arises is, you know, some of my patients rely on these medications. They're perhaps taking Humira. Some controversy over whether LDN can be taken simultaneously. Is it a waste of time to consider LDN if you're already on one of these powerful drugs for, say, rheumatoid arthritis or colitis or advanced psoriasis?
More and more, as we are learning about LDN and the mechanisms of actions and different trials and studies that have been done, we're learning, for example, steroids. It was always said that you couldn't take LDN.
Yeah, very common to see patients on this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you couldn't take LDN and steroids. But of course, the trial that Dr. Jill Smith did with LDN and Crohn's, she had her patients on steroids at the same time as LDN, and it worked perfectly. So that train of thought changed. Mm-hmm. There are people that take LDN with disease-modifying drugs if they have MS, mm-hmm. both together. And some people...
That would be
some
like
doctors,
beta-seron, you know, these interferon-like drugs.
That's right, yes. Rebif and mm-hmm. Copaxone. Initially, they thought it was only Copaxone, but they're taking other MS drugs as well now with LDN. But there are... Now, people are checking with pharmacists, etc., but there are doctors that are prescribing LDN alongside of other medications, providing they're not taking any opiate-based mm-hmm. medication.
Right, and that's important because let's say, you know, for example, you had a painful condition, and let's say you were taking, Furanol or Furoset, for your headaches or for your pains. These are opiate medications, and if you take low-dose naltrexone, you simply neutralize the effects of those medications, correct?
Mm. We had one lady who had consulted with a private doctor, hadn't disclosed her full medication, mm-hmm. and she was actually taking morphine.
Wow.
So the doctor said, "What pain medication are you taking?" And she just said, "Oh, ibuprofen, paracetamol." Right. "Are you taking anything else?" "No." So she hadn't admitted she was taking morphine. Mm-hmm. And her first dose of LDN, she ended up in hospital. Horrific withdrawal symptoms yep. from the right. morphine. She was very, very seriously ill. So that it was a lesson learned, you know, people have got to be honest. And if you're taking morphine or strong pain medication that has got opiates in them, you need to disclose it and you need to come off them. Dr. Skip Lenz will say that it's okay to take with
Tramadol.
Can't think of the name.
Tramadol. Yeah, yes. Tramadol, which is a non-opiate pain reliever. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Right.
So there are people that take it. But having said that, in some cases of like cancer, under medical supervision, nobody please try this on your right. own. They will say there is, you know, a window of opportunity where you can actually take some opiates providing you haven't got LDN and the opiates in your system at the same time. But that would have to be worked out with your physician.
It would have to be skillfully prescribed, yeah.
Exactly.
So, there's an interesting paradox that leads us to believe that there's a biological mechanism by which LDN could help cancer patients, and that is this. Cancer patients often are in pain, and morphine relieves their suffering. In fact, it's really the mainstay of hospice care. But studies have shown that while morphine relieves the pain and suffering of cancer, it may encourage the proliferation of cancer cells. It actually may hasten the progression of cancer. So how does that usher in a possibility for low-dose naltrexone to have an influence on cancer?
Well, I went to a meeting last April, and you will see the results of this paper that is imminently going to be published, where they had, I can only disclose certain things at the moment until it's published.
Yeah, published, right. There's a publication
embargo
on the information.
Yes. But basically, they have found in the laboratories is that they can treat the cancer at cell level with LDN in a certain way with some other medications, where they can actually stop the cancer and then kill it. So that is all going to be available soon. So that will be really, really totally amazing.
Well, that's all very exciting stuff. And much of it is in your very authoritative book, the book which you edited. It's called The LDN Book, How a Little-Known Generic Drug, Low-Dose Naltrexone, Could Revolutionize Treatment for Autoimmune Diseases, Cancer, Autism, Depression, and More. And it sounds too good to be true, but I think Linda will be the first one to say that LDN is not a panacea. It's not something that is a cure-all, but in my opinion, it is a very useful adjunct to the treatment of a wide variety of conditions, and it needs to be mainstreamed in medicine. And we want to spread awareness about that. And if you feel you're a candidate for LDN, there's some resources in the book, and the LDN Research Trust can point you in the right direction. So, Linda, what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? There's a website. There's a lot of resources, ways to get involved, Facebook, Twitter. Share those with us.
Yes, there are so many different ways that you can connect with us. We've got the LDN Research Trust website, which is www.ldnresearchtrust.org. We have a very active Facebook group. We have, I think, 14,500 members, well, just over.
Wow.
Which is very helpful to their people all around the world for many, many different conditions. And if you have a problem or need help in any areas, there's always somebody who's exactly like you somewhere in the world who will help you and talk to you and explain the problems that they had and how they're feeling now. And so that's very helpful. We have a Vimeo channel where indeed your interview is on there. I have over 500 people on there. We're on LinkedIn. People can always email me. I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody is looking for an LDN prescriber in their area or a pharmacy or want to know what research has happened. Most of that is all on our website, but as I say, I'm more than happy, and I can put people in touch with doctors as well who will actually, you know, speak to them and answer questions that way. So, yes. So many different ways that people can get involved and find out more about LDN. But the one thing I would say to people is, if you have an autoimmune condition or cancer, do your research into LDN. Have a look at it as an option.
Absolutely. And I really want to support your work, because increasing awareness about this remarkable therapy is vital. Because with many of these challenging conditions, cancer, fibromyalgia, lupus, MS, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's disease, our current therapies are at best somewhat ameliorative and not curative, and we need more tools in our arsenal. So thank you very much, Linda Elsegood, for joining us today, and all the best to you. And I'm just delighted to hear about your wonderful response to LDN. You're certainly an inspiration. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.